Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is Rebecca O'Rourke, and instead of focusing on health, fitness, and mindset, today's bonus podcast is talking online business and what it takes to build an online business. Rebecca's been on the podcast. This is her hat-trick appearance. She was on in episode 216, Rebecca O'Rourke on CrossFit, diet, and handling negative people. And episode 278, Rebecca O'Rourke on food for fat loss, reducing bloating, and workout challenges. So those episodes are very health and fitness based. Today's episode, we take it from a business angle. So Rebecca messaged me a couple of weeks ago and wanted to talk about business and talk about online business and her audience. And this is something that comes in frequently from my side because of my hosting of my business podcast, the Online Business Podcast, where I talk everything social media, how to price your program, how to build an online business, and a combination of solo episodes mixed in with expert guests. So I'll link that in the show notes for today's episode. For anyone that runs a health and fitness business or is a personal trainer or anyone that is looking to move into the online space, I highly recommend that podcast because I do a deep dive into my business philosophy and things that you can do that are very tangible for productivity or just building a business in general. But today, myself and Rebecca are doing deep dives into our own business. So Rebecca messaged me and was thinking about an Instagram live in terms of just chatting about social media, the hardest thing, the best things about having an online business and just bouncing back and forth. And we said we'd record it in the podcast. So instead of doing an Instagram live, we just said we'd have a conversation on the podcast and we'd press record. And today's episode, it's a bit of a different dynamic to normal. So instead of what would normally be about an 80-20 split where I talk to the guest and spend most of the time where they're speaking, going through their journey, their story, their tactics, their philosophy on whatever it is that they're an expert in, this is a bit more of a 50-50 episode. So every time Rebecca or I ask Rebecca a question about her journey of moving online or the hardest thing about an online business, she gives her answer and then I talk about it from my side. So some of the things we talked about, the best thing about having an online business, the hardest thing about having an online business, how to rise above the noise by finding your niche, the importance of expanding outside social media to build a business. So what I call not building your house on somebody else's land, the biggest mistakes that we both wish we had known when we started, and how we both run our coaching on our program. So if you're looking for an inside look into some of the mistakes, the misconceptions, or the potential opportunities that there are for having an online business, especially if you're a personal trainer, just because we're both coming from that side. But I think anybody in the health or fitness space or anybody looking to have a move online in terms of their area of expertise, I think we'll get so much value from this podcast. One of the things I love about Rebecca, she's just one of the most real people and says everything exactly as it is and how she thinks it is. And one of the things I love about her so much, it's why her podcast episodes are always fire. And today is absolutely no different. It's just in the realm of business instead of health and fitness. So without further ado, today's episode, the bonus episode, talking a lot more business related. Oh, one last thing, I meant to open the podcast with this, is I have created a free online course as well with the pros and cons of having an online business and what they don't tell you. So I created this for my other podcast, the Online Business Podcast, and I linked it on Instagram about a month ago. Briefly, and I'll link it in the show notes for today's episode. So it's a short course, 20 minutes. You give your email and you'll have access to the 6 videos, the 3 pros, the 3 cons of having an online business and what they don't tell you. So that might be very useful for those of you who are either at the considering stage of moving online, or for those of you who are at the very early stage where you've started it the last 3, 6, 12 months and you're still not sure how to navigate through, that would be a very useful course. As I said, it's free. Just download it. There's no catch or anything to it. It's just free course. Check it out if you think you'll get benefit from it. So without further ado, here is today's podcast, today's bonus episode, round 3, Rebecca O'Rourke, on what it takes to build an online business. Enjoy. Hey Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today for the hat-trick appearance of Rebecca O'Rourke. We are going to talk a little bit different in today's, or a little bit differently in today's episode. We're going to keep it very business related and how to move online. So for those of you who are fitness professionals, health professionals, personal trainers, or just people looking to use social media, build a brand, find a way to serve people in an online capacity. Hopefully today's podcast will give you loads of value. Rebecca, welcome to the podcast. Again, hat trick appearance.
Again, they'll be saying this one never shuts up.
I love it. Rebecca, we're going to jump straight into this because you messaged me, I think was it last week, just about coming on and doing a kind of from both sides, kind of a female male perspective on moving online. So I definitely want to start and jump into your journey straight away. Talk about your background. And for those that are long-term listeners of the podcast, they'll be familiar with you as a coach, as a fitness person, as an influencer, as somebody that puts out amazing, valuable content online with workouts and nutrition advice and everything. You cover that whole area. But talk about your business. What got you started and when did you move online?
So I suppose I originally started by doing shows. So that's how I kind of got into the industry from day one. So I went to college to do teaching and it just didn't work. Like I was there a year and a half. I wasn't about it. I just didn't enjoy the course. And I knew there was something else like for me. I just knew that I wasn't passionate about it. So I suppose I had a couple of years then, about 2 or 3 years, where I just didn't really have a clue what I wanted. And in that time, I kind of lost like the sporty side of myself. You know, I was always big into gymnastics and football and basketball and so many different things. And then in that time, I just nearly lost that as well. So I started doing shows simply because I needed like a new challenge. I needed something. I wanted to win something new. I wanted to try something different. So I started doing shows. And then I was doing that for maybe a year. And then I kind of just decided, okay, I wanted to then help girls feel how I felt when I was in the gym. So I went from being nearly a bit lost, kind of didn't really know what direction I was going in terms of like a career path. And then I just fell in love with it all when I started doing the shows. At the start, I think it was actually the competitive side that I really enjoyed. But then as I went further into it, it was more the way the gym made me feel. And it was just like it gave me a sense of purpose. It made me feel more confident. It was like a challenge that I needed. So then I decided that I wanted to obviously do that for someone else. So about a year and a half into it, I decided that I was going to do Image Fitness. So I studied with Image Fitness in Dublin for, I think it was maybe 16 to 20 weeks. I can't remember exactly now how long it was, but I did that. And once I got qualified in that, I went out on my own. So I originally actually started working for somebody teaching classes and then very shortly into it decided that I wanted to go out by myself. So yeah, that's kind of how I started, to be honest. And then it went from there, Brian, to be honest. It went from classes to personal training to, you know, like once I kind of hit a place where I was fully booked and couldn't really do much more from that point, I suppose then I kind of decided, okay, I'll try online. You know, I did a kind of part-time. I took on a couple of online clients while I was doing full-time personal training. And then it just went from there.
When I just want to park on that for a second, because we have very similar backstories in terms of the only probably difference is I did a kind of a side hustle where I worked as a teacher for 2 years during the day and I worked as a personal trainer at nighttime. And then in 2015, started to kind of dabble with the online and then 2016 moved online completely. You mentioned there about that you were kind of running at capacity as one-to-one. Was that your reason why you moved online or was it something else?
To be honest, I got to a point with personal training where I just found myself very, very tired. So I moved to Cork originally to set up the business. And I was lucky enough, to be honest, day one that I was fully booked for the simple fact that I had spent, as I said, you know, a year and a half to 2 years building an online presence with the shows. So like I was already posting my workouts and the way I was eating and, you know, putting content out, I suppose, every day for people. So when I moved to Cork day one, I already had that online presence to get started. So in that sense, I was very lucky. And I think that's actually, you know, what people are struggling with a bit at the moment is that they need to build a platform to move online. And it can be quite tough. Like, it is very demanding in terms of content and, you know, posting regularly and being consistent with it. So I think that's nearly where people are getting a bit trapped at the start. Yeah. So with the personal training, I was fully booked. So I was literally, I was in the gym from 6 a.m. until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I was just becoming very tired. I couldn't do any more. I couldn't take on, you know, any more clients at that point. And the gym that I was renting from at the time, it didn't have the space for me to move to, you know, maybe bigger groups and do like group classes and things like that. So it was a case of either, you know, stay where I was and be fully booked and continue to go like that, or move online. So I obviously at that point, I didn't know if online would be for me, you know, working from a laptop all day and being on the phone all day to clients is very, very different to being in a gym and dealing with them one to one. So I suppose I just did that part time for maybe 6 months or so. I did both, which then obviously led, you know, you're going from being fully booked with one to one and then you're adding the online element to it. It's not like I went half and half. I stayed going full time and then I had my online girls. And then after about 6 months, I decided, look, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to go full time online, see how it goes. And it just worked.
I think one of the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to moving online is they don't know why they're doing it. And we touched on, and we're definitely going to expand and unpack this, that it looks from the outside like online is the way to go, that it's the best life ever. And to be fair, when you build the right systems, it is, because you're in full control of your day. Like, that's one of my favorite things about being online. And I didn't have those systems in place originally. I had a lot of, one of the concepts I talk about on my business podcast is the being a busy fool, that I was running around doing things, because the problem with running your own business is there's always something to do. And if you don't have the right systems in place, you can have your day running you versus you running your day. And if you don't know why you're moving online, for me, it was a combination of, I wasn't able to, similar to you, that I was booked up as a one-to-one trainer, but I also wanted the freedom to have control of my day. I wanted to be able to work in the morning or work in the evening and have free time during the day or whatever the equivalent was. What's the biggest, because you get asked this frequently, I know it's one of the reasons for this podcast, what is the most frequently asked question you get from people who are thinking about moving online? Or what are the kind of questions or inquiries that people come to you with when it comes to, say, business or moving online in general?
So I suppose it's just how do you do it? Like, people are either going straight from a course or college and they're going into, you know, right, I'm looking at this person, they're doing personal training, they're working all day long in a gym. And then I'm looking at someone else who's maybe online, traveling around, you know, going for lunch during the day. They seem to be doing nothing, but they're kind of missing the point of that there's a lot being done. You know, just because you're maybe going for lunch in the middle of the day versus someone who's in the gym all the time, like, the person online is probably working at 10 or 11 at night. You know, it's a case of you need to build it up to get to a place where you can control your day. It's not as though you're going from college or a gym to online. And suddenly, you know, like, I think it's just this, it's nearly like a false concept that's put out there on social media. You know, it's not all about being on a beach and traveling and you're making a load of money from, you know, this luxurious lifestyle. You have to actually put in the groundwork to build your business to that point whereby you have systems in place, where you've built a website, where you've your programs done and they're out there, and that you're actually, you've built a brand that nearly promotes itself. As opposed to people thinking it's like, oh, I'll go in and do a 10-week course and then I'll be like an online trainer and I'll be living the dream. Like, it doesn't work like that. I think there isn't enough, like, there's so much out there about nutrition and calorie deficit and training and free content. Whereas the business side of it, I don't think there isn't enough information about it. People are getting very stuck between, okay, I'm finished my personal training course. Where do I go now? Like, what should my next step be to get me to where I actually want to be in maybe 12 months time?
And one of the things that, as you mentioned there, working from a laptop on a beach in Bali, sometimes I think with social media, people confuse the influencer model with actually running a business. And they're two completely different business models. Like, to work as an influencer, it means that you're building up your social media presence so that brands pay you to represent them. And that's where the majority of your revenue is coming from. Whereas when you're running a business, like you are, Rebecca, or like I am, you're working with people. You've got clients or programs or a service, completely different business model. And I think social media confuses that. With that, and someone that has built, and we're definitely going to build into, you know, how you've niched, because one of the things that I associate with you, and I send a lot of my girls your way, like sometimes girls come my way, I'm like, I actually think Rebecca's a better fit for you. I've got several coaches. Paul Dermody's in that bracket, Charlie Johnson's in that bracket, David Young's in that bracket, and you're in that bracket, Rebecca. Like, people that I think are better fits, I generally send them to other trainers. But what do you wish you had known before you moved online? Or is there anything that, if you could go back, that you would have said, do this, i.e., you know, build a website or build your social media or have your systems in place or get your pricing right or whatever it is. What's the thing that you wish you had known when you started first? For those that are listening who are about to embark on that journey or have maybe already started, learning from potentially your mistakes, and I can dive into a couple of mine as well, but what jumps to your mind with it when it comes to what you wish you had known prior?
So when I initially started, I worked myself into the ground, and I wish that I had worked smarter. Like, I was doing hours and hours and hours of training as opposed to like having a better system. Like, anyone, if you're going into a gym and you're starting your day at 6 a.m. and you're working all day long, you know, back to back clients until 9 p.m. and then you're getting up the following day to do that same thing. Like, it's inevitable that you're going to come to a crash. Like, you're not going to be able to continue that long term. And I think what happened to me at the end of kind of when I was doing personal training is I had like a big crash. Like, I was so exhausted, and like, I just loved it so much, but I didn't give myself time to train properly, to focus on my food, to actually, you know, take a day off. Like, when I initially started, because it was like, okay, I've started my own business, I want it to be this big success, I want to help as many people as I can, like, I literally didn't give myself a free half an hour in the day. And I think, you know, for anyone starting out, you have to work hard. Like, you're not going to build a successful business from doing a half-hour job. You know, you have to give your clients the time and, you know, put the work in. But also, you need to make time for yourself as well. Like, I definitely look back at my first year in business and think, how did I even survive it?
One of the analogies that I use with people that I work with on business is that it's like pushing a tire up a hill, very similar to weight loss, that it takes a lot of time, energy and effort to push a tire up a hill, but to actually keep it at the top, it's relatively straightforward. Yes. It's not as difficult. And I think building a business is very similar. The mistakes I made weren't dissimilar to yours. It was the lack of systems. And what I do now currently, one of the biggest things is I outsource things. So I'm all about automating, eliminating or delegating tasks. So as soon as something comes into my system or comes into my, you know, whether it's a sales copy creation, or whether it's, you know, lead generation or funnels or whatever it is I'm designing, I'll ask, right, can I automate this so that it's set up and I do it once and then I don't have to worry about it again? Can I eliminate this? Is it something that I shouldn't be doing in the first place? Or can I delegate this? Can I outsource it to somebody or get somebody on my team or hire a freelancer to potentially do this? Like, you know, it's the website creation. I wouldn't spend a second trying to create my website because there's people out there who can do it better than me. It's in their circle of competence. And as a result of that, I think it's better to outsource those things and automate your content. So I'm going to touch on that because it gives me a nice little segue into social media. One of the mistakes I made initially when I moved online was I was doing individual replies to everything. So whether that was my sales copy for my programs or whether that was somebody asking me about creatine or somebody asking me about calorie deficits, I was doing individual replies. And one of the things that I've done over the last couple of years is built up a massive amount of resource of content that I can send people to. So one of the reasons for the podcast and one of the reasons that I'll cover, I just recently did a training deep dive as a podcast and I did a nutrition deep dive in the summer. And I use those as resources. So when somebody DMs me on Instagram and they're like, you know, what's a calorie deficit? How do I work that out? I'm like, cool, go listen to episode 291 of the podcast. It's a nutrition deep dive. It'll give you everything you need to design your own plan or the training equivalent. And that's something that if I'd known at the beginning that doing and building that library of content would give me back so much time and also create a load of value for the people following and potentially for people, you're pre-qualifying people to work with you because you're giving them your systems, you're telling them how you work as a coach and you end up bridging that gap between potential leads and people actually signing up to your program. So it's a win-win-win all round. And social media is a very effective tool for that. Do you think your business, is social media a foundation pillar of it? Or do you think your business would work as well or equally as well without it? I'm just curious because I have my own two cents on this and I'll put in after you. But if you removed social media, do you think it's such a driving force for you, or is it something that you could remove and you'd still be fine?
I think since I created my website, my new website about 6 months ago, I don't think social media is like crucial now, whereas before that it absolutely was. Like my entire business model has been run through Instagram for the last 4 years. But since I got someone reliable, someone who's on the same page as me, like the girl who runs my website is just fantastic. Like I come up with an idea, I have a new program, I have a new challenge, I have a new, you know, something, and I give it to her and then she just gets it, you know. And I think that has really helped me in terms of my stress levels. Like I was doing a lot of things on my own because I nearly had this mindset where I couldn't trust someone else to do it properly. So I would just do it all by myself. And that was really leading me. I could feel myself kind of going back to the personal training route. You know, I was getting really tired. I was like taking way too much on to do by myself. Whereas now having someone reliable and having a team of reliable people that, you know, will do things to the way I want them. Like that's after really taking a massive, massive stress off of me. But in terms of, you know, social media, it depends, Brian. I think like what's the end goal for someone online? Like I don't want to be working online forever. Like I want to in the next year or two have my own studio. Like that's my end goal. At the moment, I don't want it now because I still, you know, I don't feel settled enough to do that yet. Like I've only just moved back to Kerry. I'm only just seeing if I actually like living in Kerry. So like I'm not going to open a gym tomorrow and in 6 months realize, you know, this isn't for me. Whereas like some people, the business model through social media is definitely, you know, are they going down the influencer route? Like, are they building their social media to, you know, maybe work with like a big gym gear company or a big supplement company? And then that's what they want to be. Whereas like Team ROR to me is going to be this studio of like motivation for women to come to, you know, from all over the world. That's the end goal where I see it. So right now, social media, yes, I absolutely use to, you know, get more clients in for challenges, to help people, to motivate them through workouts and, you know, my stories and putting out content. Whereas it's not like it wouldn't be absolutely crucial. If Instagram stopped tomorrow, my business would run just fine.
And I think that is something that scares a lot of people that have built a following. For those that are listening that are in that 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 plus followers on social media, on TikTok, on Instagram, on any platform. And I generally advise, or I get people to ask that question. I'm like, what happens to your business tomorrow if this platform disappears? And that's a good question to ask. And it happened a little bit to me in 2017. I, not dissimilar to you, but I had a lot of my content was being coming directly through social media. So Facebook and Snapchat at the time were my two major platforms. So I was putting out video content, 3 or 4 videos a week on Facebook. I was putting out a lot of content, Snapchat Q&As, workouts on Snapchat. And within the space of a week, both algorithms changed. And we had a massive revenue hit that month. And I remember thinking, fuck, at the end of the month. And it made me realize that like building your business on social media is like building your house on somebody else's land. I'm like, it's all well and good, but if somebody comes around and changes something, you have no control on that. And I think it's a very good question for people who are building their business on social media, unless you're going that influencer route where you're jumping from platform to platform to try and grab the attention so that you can work with brands potentially, but actually using it to build a business where you're pre-qualifying leads or working with people directly in some capacity. Courses, programs, a service. It's so important that you have something else that you channel people back to. You know, email lists jumps to mind, podcast, website. With your website then, do you use any sort of capturing of emails, or do you just have the website as a place to kind of build more brand, get people to sign up, get the inquiries, or what do you primarily use your website for at the minute?
So it's definitely what you were saying in terms of, you know, when the questions are asked, having a place to put them to all this gathered information. So like, if, you know, obviously DMs are a big thing on Instagram, there's constant questions. And my thing, very same as you, is that I was constantly replying to people, you know, individually with the same answers all the time. Whereas now it's like, okay, you have a question, you know, here's a link to go to here. You've all the information. Like, all my signups are done through my website for my weight loss challenges, my one-to-one, it's all there. Whereas before, you know, up till 8 or 9 months ago, someone would ask me, you know, Rebecca, I'm interested in starting maybe one-to-one coaching. How do I go about it? And it was back and forward through emails with information and, you know, links and whatever. Whereas now it's just on the website. Every single thing you'll need to know is right there. And it just takes that big chunk of work again away from me, because I've it all done already. It's there on the website. Like, anything anyone needs to know about any style of coaching that I offer, whether it's a guide, a challenge, a program, you know, one-to-one, it's all on the website. There's free workouts. There's, you know, the backstory about how I got started through the shows and, you know, the courses and whatever. It's all there in this one place. And again, I just find that it's after taking, you know, a lot of the time when you're online is emails back and forward, DMs back and forward, you know, putting up information that maybe you've put up before, and then having this platform that is there and everything that a person would need to know about you and your business, it's all there for them. And I do think like that is important for anyone who is trying to free up their time and maybe, you know, grow their business to nearly from where it is at the moment.
You mentioned emails there. You mentioned phone calls earlier and replying to DMs. What's the hardest thing about being online? And I think I'll come at this from two angles. One, what's the hardest thing for you personally at the minute? And two, what's the hardest thing that people don't generally see or think about when they are considering having an online business? So maybe start with what you find hardest personally, and then I'm curious to jump into the other one.
What I think hardest for me, I suppose I am always on. Like, when you don't, when you have your own business, it's not like, you know, oh, I've a week off from work, you know, I'm going to just do nothing, close the laptop and it's done. Like, when you have your own business, you're always on. Yeah, you'll have a day off or whatever. But like, if something goes wrong, it's yours. You know, you're going to be the one that needs to fix it. So it's not a case of like, I keep going back to this nearly false perception that people have of like, oh, she works online, she's living the dream, you know, she's floating around and it's all roses. Whereas like, you know, you're up, you could be up at 6 a.m. You could have a stressful day. Something goes wrong. You could be there from 6 a.m. till 9, 10, 11 at night. And you still have to deal with Instagram. You still have to do your DMs. You still have to do your emails. You still, like, there's a list of things that has to be done on top of all this other background stuff that, you know, people don't think is even a thing when you have a business. But definitely I find personally for me online is that there is no, you know, I suppose, time off as such.
Yeah, 9 to 5 office. There's no, you come in at 9, you finish at 5.
Exactly. Like, my friends say to me, you know, oh, Rebecca, like, you know, like, we'd love to be doing what you're doing online. You know, you're in your apartment. It's lovely and, you know, cozy and the office and whatever else. But I'm like, lads, when you go to work and you finish at 5, you go home, you're not in work till tomorrow. Like, I could say to myself, right, I'm going to finish early today now. You know, I'll stop at 5 or 6 o'clock. Something could happen and I could be on my laptop till 12 at night. You know, it's not as simple. I think it's nearly, you know, you're looking at it from one angle. Whereas, because obviously I don't go on to my Instagram at 12 at night and be like, oh God, you know, this went wrong and I have to do so many emails. Because that's, you know, you're not going to go on and talk about stuff like that all the time. But like, I think people don't then realize that having your own business is not all roses in the garden. Like, it is very hard. It's stressful. It's tough. Obviously, you know, the benefits are outweighing all the negatives. But at the same time, for anyone listening to this who is like, you know, right, I'm finished college, or I'm, you know, I don't really want to do personal training anymore, I want to move online. Like, be prepared that there is a lot of work that goes into it to firstly get to a successful point, and then you're trying to stay there and grow beyond that again.
And I think it's massively overlooked. As you said, one of the problems with social media is, and I talk about this a lot on my platforms, is that you see what people want you to see, and you're not going to see the multiple hours of phone calls and emails and replying to DMs or whatever it is when it comes to an online program creation, course creation. You generally don't see that. And I use my own personal life as an example for people. I'm like, you know, I was like, my daughter's nowhere on my social media. I'm like, the most important person to me on the planet, I'm like, nowhere on my social media. I'm like, it's to reinforce that idea that people will put up what you want them to see. And online business is very similar, and it works in the reverse, where people only see the good, the tip of the iceberg analogy, that they don't see what's underneath. And I think it's very important, just to kind of piggyback on what you said there, or to give what might be useful here as someone that had that same issue and that same struggle but doesn't have it anymore. I found a combination of outsourcing to people the tasks that didn't need to be me, and mixed in with non-negotiable cutoff times for work. So this is a little bit of a problem down the line for people, but it might be useful for you, Rebecca, is I drew up a list about 2 years ago, a list of all the things that I had to do that had to be me, that there's no way anybody else could do this. You know, recording podcasts was on that, speaking at conferences at the time was on that, and creation of courses and programs were on that list. But there were so many things I was doing that shouldn't have been on that list. So I kind of broke my time into, you know, my IGTs. I'm like, what's my income generating tasks? And everything else I outsourced. So all the creation for the courses, the programs, outsourced. All the website design, outsourced. All the emails, outsourced. All the program sales copy and course sales copy, outsourced or automated. And that's given you back a lot of your time. And I found that very helpful alongside having a non-negotiable cutoff. So I normally come off social media at 6 p.m. every evening, and my team are the same. So everyone that I have, not everyone's going to have a team, but everyone that works with me, either full-time or in a subcontract or freelance capacity, know that they'll get me early in the morning from 9 o'clock, and they know they'll get me up until about 5 o'clock. I try and force that 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, and I have everybody on my team and everybody that I work with in programs and courses know that these are the hours that they'll get me, and then outside of that, I'm not on it. And it's really difficult if you end up incorporating this, Rebecca, at any stage, or anybody else that's listening. I found it really hard for about 3 months, because it's so tempting to just reply to that one more email, or so tempting just to jump onto that DM, and you have to be really disciplined. But the beauty of living a fitness lifestyle, and you know this, Rebecca, more than anyone, like, you're one of the most disciplined people I know when it comes to their fitness and their nutrition and the way they approach things. It's just applying that same discipline to your business, because it's very tempting to just constantly have and do the next thing, because there's always something to do in your business. That's the problem. When you work 9 to 5 in an office, you have a set amount of tasks, and then you go home at 5 and you switch off and you do it Monday to Friday, and then you don't have to think about it at the weekend. So your trade-off is that you don't have that luxury unless you create that system yourself. And so it's just, and I think that ties in with what you said, the hardest thing that people don't see is probably the thing you're struggling with now. So I think that's really valuable for people. To flip that then, though, what's your favorite thing about having an online business?
Oh, like, I'm obsessed with my job, like, obsessed. Like, online for me allows me to work with more people. Like, I loved personal training, absolutely loved it. It wasn't that I was sick of it and, you know, couldn't deal with being in the gym. Like, I absolutely loved it. It's just that I couldn't grow from where I was. So moving online allowed me to do the same thing, but with larger, you know, a larger number of people. So, like, it's not like I absolutely love the online aspect. Like, I went to Bali for a month. I went to Thailand for a month. I went to New York for 2 weeks. You know, it allows me to travel to, like, at the time, a big part of it was coming home. I didn't see my family enough at all. So I wanted to have the freedom to come home to them, you know, and see them whenever I wanted, to go traveling when I wanted and still work. But that's another thing I think people aren't seeing, that it's not, you know, I wasn't in Bali for 4 weeks sunbathing and, you know, living my best life. I was still running a business. So I was up at 5 or 6 in the morning to get work done. So then that allowed me then to, you know, have a couple of hours in the day free to go and, you know, train 2 or 3 hours to go and experience different things around Bali and Thailand and whatever. But, like, the business still needed to be run. And that's a different thing, you know, as you were saying, it's like, are you running a business or are you trying to become an influencer that helps other businesses grow? And for me, it's definitely, you know, like Team RLR is my business, my brand, and that's what I'm growing every day. So if I'm, you know, gone off traveling or whatever, taking time away, that business still needs to be run. And I think, like, you know, people aren't really seeing that aspect of it. It's not as though all these online coaches are flying around the world and they're, you know, like doing nothing, and people, you know, it's a really false perception that I think people need to understand, because there's young people coming into the industry, like, you know, they're going through college or they're doing a course or whatever it is, and they really think that they're going to come into this, you know, industry of traveling and holidays, and they're in their bikinis and they're training every day, and, you know, they seem to be doing nothing. But the reality is that anyone who's running a successful business in the fitness industry is actually doing a lot of hours around this kind of socializing that you're seeing on social media.
With that, because social media plays such a huge role, and because of Team RLR, like a very distinguished brand in terms of who it is you're serving and kind of niching with your online girls, as you mentioned, how do you rise above the noise online in terms of, you're very clearly, you know who you're speaking to, but there's a lot of noise out there online in the sense that there's a lot of fitness professionals, there's a lot of influencers, there's a lot of people in the health space, and we're all kind of competing and everyone's competing for the attention of others. How do you rise above the noise online?
I think I'm just very sure of what I want. Like, I know who my client target base is. I know who I want to help. I know the type of person that I can help. Like, you know, people are always saying to me, oh, you know, you don't train fellas, like you're missing a big market there, and you don't, you know, whatever. But I'm like, that's not my market. Like, that's not what I'm passionate about. Like, I have no interest whatsoever in training, you know, fellas. And like, it's just, that's not what, I don't get passion from that. Like, it doesn't make me happy. I tried it at the start. I kind of set out day one, you know, I only train girls. And then I was like, you know, maybe I should train fellas. You know, I have a lot of fella friends who want me to coach them whenever, I'll try it. Like, 2 weeks in, I was like, no, it's just, this is not what I want my business to be about. So like, when I see, like, for example, you know, someone on social media is doing, you know, X, Y, and Z, they're promoting this, they seem to be, you know, they seem to be becoming successful from it. There's no point in me doing that when it's not what I want. You know, you need to kind of look at what you're good at. What are you passionate about? You know, what's the end goal? Like, you're growing a business to where? Like, what's the end goal with it? Like, as I said, I don't want to, in 5 years' time, be living in, you know, at the other side of the world running an online business. I want to have my own studio, my own gym, you know, a place, a hub for my clients, that, you know, people who are traveling. Like, when I went to Thailand and Bali, going over to these gyms, like, that's what I want to create in Ireland for women.
One of the biggest struggles that people have, and I talk about this a lot on the other podcast, the Online Business Podcast, and in my online courses for personal trainers, about niching, you know, making, you know, riches in the niches, that you make sure that you know who you're speaking to. And you're one of the best people at this in terms of objectively looking at your business. And again, we've been friends for years. You're so clear on who you're targeting and you know who your client base is. How did you find out that that's who you wanted to work with in terms of the female? What was the process? Because I think one of the biggest, and this is one of the biggest tips I offer people, is the sooner you get clear on who you're trying to serve. And it's funny because you talked about, you know, people will say you're missing half your market by not working with men, or, you know, and it's generally Karen or John from down the street who works fucking 9 to 5 in an office. They're like, you should work with men. And I'm like, oh yeah, how's your business going, Karen? Like, you know, and that, it's just, that's what people do. Everybody has opinions on that. I shouldn't use Karen as an example. That's my sister's name. This is my sister's the most supportive person ever. Yeah, definitely not her. She's literally been my biggest supporter since the start. But when it comes to people offering advice, that's what they do. And my general go-to is, you know, don't take advice from people you wouldn't switch positions with. And when it comes to building a business and building up a niche, that's the thing that I've found has helped people rise above the noise, because it doesn't really matter what other people are doing. If you're established as a thought leader or as an expert in female weight loss or GEA strength and conditioning or body composition or triathlon training or yoga or Pilates or whatever it is. But how did you go about finding your client base? What did that look like? Was it a lot of testing? Was it, that's what your insights on social media said? Was it from your experience as a PT? Was it something completely different? How did you figure out who your niche was?
I think I actually knew very early. I wish I could nearly kind of, you know, sometimes you nearly have to be in someone's shoes to kind of feel it. Like, before I did the shows, like, I had this feeling of, like, you know, just lost. Like, I remember feeling, what is my career? What am I meant to do? Like, I knew that I wanted to have my own business. I just didn't know in what, how would I go about it? Like, hadn't a clue. So then when I started doing shows, and I just had this, like, it was like an overwhelming feeling of, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, this is what, like, gives me life. It's what gives me motivation every day. And I knew I wanted to give that to other girls. Like, it was never in my mind that I wanted to have a business where I coach, you know, everybody. I always knew from the very start that I wanted to, like, empower women, give them confidence, you know, whether they're going through a breakup or, you know, they have a clue what career they want. They don't know what they want to do in college, or they just have low self-esteem. Like, I knew I wanted to help them grow from that point. And I actually, when I think back on it now, I actually knew at the very start. And me training fellas for that short period of time was because of other people's opinions. And, like, I'm very headstrong in the sense that when I know what I want, no one else's opinion is going to even soak in a small bit. Like, I listen to them and I'll nod along, but they know I'm going to, you know, go and do my own thing anyway. So they're like, yeah, she didn't listen at all. She's gone off to do her own thing. So it's like, you know, yeah, oh, you should be training fellas. Like, you know, it's a big market you're missing out on. And why do you kind of, why are you telling fellas no when they want to sign up for programs? And I was I'd simply say, that's not my business. Like, my business is empowering women, giving them confidence, offering them this space that is, you know, theirs to grow in self-belief and self-confidence. And that's just it. You know, you have to be confident in your own ideas. Like, yeah, everyone's going to have an opinion. Like, I know we spoke about this in the last podcast. Everyone is going to want to offer you an opinion, and the person down the road is going to see what you're doing and say, oh, you know, you should be doing it differently and you should train, you know, X, Y, and Z or whatever. But, like, if you're confident in your own ability and that you know what you're doing every day is right, then you'll be fine. That's the issue with people coming in to the industry. They're so young, so impressionable. There's so much on social media, you know, this one does that, she does another thing, and he does this one. Oh, like, what should I be doing? It's all so confusing. Whereas if you spend a bit of time actually, you know, what is it you want? Like, why are you coming into the industry? Do you want to help people, or do you just love training yourself and feel like, you know, oh, she's living the dream, so I want that job as well?
And I think the self-reflection is really important on that. And I want to unpack some of the things you said just for people listening. Like, marketing 101 is knowing that when you're trying to build a business, that like refers like, meaning that if you're working with 30-year-old women who have kids and want to lose weight, there's a good chance that their friends or people they surround themselves with are people in that same age bracket with similar pain points, meaning that if you're trying to rise above the noise online, that if you get specific on who it is you're working with and you get really good results with Mary, John, Jane, Jack, whoever it is, guys, girls, whatever area you're working within, there's a good chance that they're going to refer their friends on to you. That works as a one-to-one business, but it's especially relevant online because you can build up content that is very specific to the pain points of what I call your avatar. So creating your avatar, like, who is it you're speaking to? Like, in my programs, my BKF online program, my GA Lean Body program are kind of my two flagships. Like, I have avatars for those programs, meaning that, you know, they fall in a certain age bracket. I have a list of their pain points so that I know when I'm creating content online, like, that's my filter for content, for content creation. I'll generally ask myself, if I'm writing out a story or creating an infographic or creating a video, does this piece of content address one of the pain points of my avatar? If the answer is no, then I don't use that piece of content. If the answer is yes, then I publish it and I post it. And you mentioned something else there, Rebecca, I want to pull, that you tested it. And I have a philosophy of ABT, you know, always be testing, which, as you did with the men, that you wouldn't necessarily know. You might have an inkling that you didn't want to work with them, but there's no way to know for certain until you test it. So I think that is very valuable for people. And with that, you know, you mentioned the coaching with the girls. What does your coaching look like at the minute? What's your kind of business model for coaching? Is it bespoke, one-to-one, small group? How does that look at the minute?
So my biggest thing at the moment is the weight loss challenges. So every 6 weeks, I run a weight loss challenge, girls only, and there's 200 spots per 6 weeks. My one-to-one is there since day one, and that will continue, but the challenges are only new. So in the first lockdown, I started the challenges because more people had time, more people were moving online, you know, they wanted to train from home. So I created the challenges for that. And it's training and nutrition, whether you like to train in a gym or from home, it suits absolutely everybody. And the main thing about my coaching is that it's to suit each person individually. So whether you like to run, spinning classes, CrossFit, you know, where no matter where you live in the world, the programs are for you. Because like, there's no point in me trying to push my love of training onto a person if it's not what they enjoy. Like, my friends do not enjoy CrossFit at all. Like, if I tried to bring them to CrossFit, they would be so allergic. They wouldn't enjoy it. They wouldn't go back. And then they'd kind of say, ah, you know, I don't really like exercise because of that one experience. Whereas if you offer people, you know, okay, do you want to go to a gym? Not really sure. Right. Do you like weights or cardio? They'll kind of make a decision. Do you like training by yourself, or do you like going with a gang of friends and you all go into a spinning class for an hour and you have the crack and, you know, that's what you enjoy? So it's a case of, again, something I see with a lot of coaches is that their philosophy on training is what they then give to their clients. But your clients aren't always going to like that philosophy. You know, just because you enjoy doing deadlifts and hip thrusts and whatever the case is, that doesn't mean that someone else is going to enjoy it. So you need to have a variety and a kind of an open mind to the fact that people's lifestyles are different. Someone's schedule is different. Like, you can't give an 18-year-old who doesn't have a job, who lives at home with no stresses, the same program as a, you know, a 40-year-old woman with three kids, a really busy job, you know, a manic schedule. She doesn't really have time for six workouts a week. So you have to kind of open your mind and say, right, what would suit them? Ask them, like, what do you enjoy? What do you not enjoy? Can you train 3 days a week? Can you train 7 days a week? And then build from there.
Do you get all that information on the front end, or do you work with somebody directly and then course correct as you go?
So I offer a lot of variety day one. So when someone starts with me one-to-one, it's all tailored to them. So they'll fill out a questionnaire, you know, how many days can you train? Do you go to the gym, or would you prefer to train at home? Same with their food. It's designed for them. With the challenges then, so 200 women in a group are not going to have the same lifestyles. Like, there's girls who are training 7 days a week. They're in the gym. They love the gym. You know, they love training by themselves. Very happy to do it. That's what motivates them. Then there's other people in it who are, you know, at home, they've, you know, children, they don't have time to be running to the gym, coming home, finding babysitters. So they'll train at home, they'll do my live workouts 2 or 3 days a week. And then, you know, that's them very content, very happy. They're pushing themselves, and then they'll build from there. But they get everything at the start. So you have your four workout splits, 4 days a week. You've your glute guide, you've your ab circuits, you've some cardio challenges. Like, a big thing with my coaching is challenges. Like, I like people to try different things, to push themselves that bit more. And it's very similar to kind of me training, you know, fellas for a while and saying, you know, right, okay, it wasn't for me, I tried it. It's the same with the workouts. So, you know, someone will say to me, oh, I've never been to the gym, I've never really done cardio, I don't like them. And I'm like, but you don't know if you like them because you've never tried them. So here's the workout, give it a go. If they come back to me and be like, bored off my head, absolutely hated it, perfect. But more often than not, by adding in these different challenges all the time, they're constantly seeing what they do and they don't like.
For everybody listening that has listening to this with a business hat on, it's understanding that different business models work different for based on who it is you're working with. And mm-hmm. for your avatar, for your female audience, for team or that challenge concept, that, and also I think it reverse engineers you as a coach, because you have such a love and a passion for fitness, and you're an athlete. Like, you're one of those people that can get down to X percent body fat and potentially step on stage in a month, or you can do a soul destroying CrossFit workout and then everything in between. So you're reverse engineering you as a coach mixed in with who it is that you're working with in terms of your clientele. And I think it's very important because my business model is slightly different. I have what I call a just from a moving start, where I bring in and I work with small groups of people. So 50 people work in my BKF online program. But what we do is based on their individual goals. Now we're at the point where it's scaled now. So when somebody signs up, they fill out all the questions through the website, and then automatically based on their response, they get individualized nutritional plans, training programs, and all the videos that go alongside that based on what they've put. So if they're a beginner, if they're intermediate, if they're pro, if their goals are fat loss, if it's building muscle, etc. So it's at that point now. But different business models work for different people. I work with both genders in mind. So you're catering to that. And the take home for people listening is it's not a one size fits all across the board. Like what Rebecca has done, from what I've seen over the years, because I remember, I think, Rebecca, when we talked first, you were just moving online or really pushing that at the time, and you've grown it massively since then. But it's a case of establishing, well, what kind of content am I going to create? Who am I trying to serve in terms of my avatar? What do they look like? What are their pain points? What am I selling? Which I think is very underutilized, a very unasked question when it comes to online business. What is it you're selling? Are you selling a service? Are you selling a program? Are you selling a course? You know, are you going the influencer model where you're actually not selling anything but your reputation and brand of working with another company to help build their business? These are all very valid questions to ask on the front end. And it just kind of ties in beautifully what you said about the challenges, getting people to test their ideas, that there's different business models that work, and you've clearly found the one that's worked best for you. I'm curious, Rebecca, just to kind of wrap this up. I've loved this conversation because it gives a nice little deep dive into both of our businesses and kind of getting an idea and feeding off it. What are your kind of final words or even thoughts or anything that's on your mind when it comes to online business or anything you want to share? Feel free to deep dive into that now.
I think just the main thing for people coming into the industry, like this is something I've been asked a lot over the past probably 12 months. It's, you know, just because you yourself love going to the gym and you love training and you'd spend 2 hours in the gym every day, like that doesn't mean that you're going to enjoy training other people and, you know, revolving your whole life around other people and their goals and, you know, helping them progress. So I think it's nearly a case of like, you know, don't just throw yourself into a personal training course to come out and think you're going to suddenly be living, you know, in Bali or Thailand or sitting at home all day with your feet up, because it's not like that. Like if you're growing a business isn't easy. It's not a case of, you know, throw up a couple of pictures on Instagram and you're going to be inundated with clients. It doesn't work like that. And also, if you're using social media as your way to build your business, make sure that you're actually putting out stuff for your target market. So it's not as though, you know, okay, a girl is in great shape and she's putting up pictures every day in her underwear. Like you're going to draw a lot of male like attention onto your page. And if you're then trying to coach girls, you don't have then the audience for that sort of a business. So be careful with the content you're putting out. Do you actually want to help other people, or do you just enjoy training yourself? Like I've had a lot of friends over the years, a lot of, you know, just people that have come to me maybe straight out of college with this passion for, you know, oh, I can't wait to be a personal trainer. It's going to be unreal. And then 3 months in, they're like, oh, you know, not a hope. It's not for me. Like I love going in, doing my own session, going home, and that's it. So, you know, kind of have a think to yourself before you go through the whole process of setting up the business. Is it actually what you want? Like, do you want to spend hours in a gym training people? Do you want to be at home on the laptop, doing emails? And whether you outsource or not, like, you're still dealing with people all the time. You still have to talk to your clients. You still have to be there, voice notes and WhatsApps and, you know, recording workouts and whatever. So just kind of think about it before you go into it and say, like, is this what I want? And is it growing a business what I want? Or do I just want to be a fitness influencer working for other brands?
I love that. I think, you know, one of my favorite quotes is that, you know, smart people have great answers and geniuses have great questions. And I think what you've said there, Rebecca, there's just some fantastic questions for anybody, whether you're at the very start of your journey, you're at the early phases of qualifying, whether you've been in the business for the last year, 5 years. Those questions are so good to come back to. You know, is this what you really want? What kind of business model do you want to run? You know, how do you want your business to look? Do you want to be an influencer? Do you love training versus love working with people? I think all of those things are such valid questions to ask. Rebecca, I've I've loved this. I think when it comes to cutting learning curves, there's so much value left, right, and center here for those that are considering moving online, or maybe for those who are already there because of what you've done and how you've grown over the past. When did you move online? When did we have our first podcast? Was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, fine, time is going quick.
It's been mental. And again, it's just, I love it though. Like, but yeah, it equally feels like yesterday when we had those conversations, but it could have been 10 years ago as well. Rebecca, for everybody listening, where's the best place for them to connect with you, where they can reach out with you and share the website, share your Instagram handles. And for everyone that wants to connect with you after this podcast, I'll link them all in the show notes.
Perfect. Yeah. The fastest way to get me anyway is always email. So info@RebeccaO'Rourke.com, and then everything else is on my Instagram. Link to the website is on the bio and everything else can be found there.
And as I said, for everybody listening, I will link those in the show notes in BrianKeenFitness.com and in the description for today's episode. If you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, you can click straight on through. Rebecca, thank you so much again. Hat trick appearance in the bag.
Thanks, Brian.
So there you have it, Rebecca O'Rourke on what it takes to build an online business. Very different episode today, a bonus episode talking everything when it comes to the online space. As I said, if this was a helpful episode, definitely go check out my business podcast, the Online Business Podcast. That's where I do a deep dive with other guests and solo episodes based on what it takes to build an online business or what it takes to build a business in the health and fitness industry. Also, the free short course that I've linked in the description, the pros and cons of having an online business and what they don't tell you. So if you think you will benefit from that, it takes about 20 minutes to come through. There's 6 videos, short videos, 3 pros, 3 cons to consider when it comes to moving online. So go check that out if you think it'll benefit. And that's everything from this week's episode. A massive thank you to Rebecca for being so transparent and talking through all the things that helped her move online, some of the mistakes, some of the misconceptions she had. And hopefully this episode will massively cut your learning curve if you are hoping to go on a similar journey. So that's everything from this week. Catch you all on Monday.